Oh hey.
Oh hey.
Oh hey.
Dude, you speak when you're spoken to.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Hi, I'm Tegan.
And I'm Lee.
And we're in episode, what episode now, Lee? I never know.
24.
I thought it was 24 last week.
We didn't do one last week.
Oh, whenever. Look, we're probably at 20. I think it's 25, dude.
No, I think it's 24.
Fine. We're at episode 24 of Sazerac.
Let me just check our Twitter
account. Yeah. We have no idea what's happening.
Oh, no, it is 25.
Yeah.
Corrected.
I'll tell you what I love being. Right. It's good.
Oh, God.
Welcome to episode 25 of Sass Effect. We are here with a very special guest who has already made himself known because he doesn't like following our format. We have Nate Bramley from the Inform podcast. Welcome, Nate.
Hello, hello.
Nate's a scientist and like a math teacher and stuff, and he knows things that we don't know about.
Wait, is he actually a scientist?
I call him a scientist.
I did.
You own a lab coat. No,
okay. I own a lab coat, so therefore I'm a scientist. No, my first degree was a Bachelor of Science, and I did some few little things with that, but then I did 1 year of teaching.
Yeah.
So I'm more scientist than what I am teacher. So,
yeah.
I like how with like teaching degrees, it's like you can do any degree ever and they just need to do 1 year of teaching and that's it.
You can now
be changed to 2 years. Oh, yeah, okay. I was like one of the last few groups to be able to do 1 year of teaching.
Like, you'll find a shape people's future now. That's fine. 1 year. Love it.
You know the content. We're now going to teach you how to teach the content. And they don't teach you a thing in that degree.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's an experience.
Off the top of your head, Nate, what is the most messed up experience that you've had teaching in a school?
The most messed up.
Yeah, and or funniest, or something that stands out to you. Like, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
That you haven't spoken about in a previous episode.
Yes.
Being on our podcast.
Have I told you about the kid who didn't understand the shape of the world?
Oh, yes, you did. You spoke about that in the last episode.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
The kid who couldn't figure out how to go around. Or
oh, whatever. Yeah, that's yeah. Right. He thought it was flat or something.
He thought the world was a cylinder.
what a hero.
Which is a heavy concept. I can talk about like one of the most awkward situations.
Okay.
I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but during a year 9 maths class at a school in Sydney, I had one of the girls in the middle of the class go, "Sir, what's your Snapchat?"
Oh, just no,
in the middle of the class. Half of the class was all became meerkats and were very, very like...
The other half yelled out what his Snapchat name was.
Yeah, the other half, oh, Jesus Christ. And fine. The other half were just like, oh my God, that's so cringy. I can't believe you'd ask him that. And she goes, I just want to know what his Snapchat is. And like half the class goes, he probably doesn't even want your Snapchat. And she goes, I don't care. I just want his.
Oh, that's cute.
That's so cute.
But
and
no.
I had to get the head of the department in to tell him to stop being so inappropriate because they continued it. Like, so is it really, really hard being super hot and trying to teach maths? And I'm like, oh.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yes.
It is. God, that would be awkward. I think it's a special... What makes this episode so special is that we have, in fact, had Nate on several times before, but never officially. We never let him have
like
status.
Some like, background.
You're always drunk in the background or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, exactly. So welcome here officially for the first time.
Thank you.
Now, because you've always just been a bit of a scrub in the back, we haven't put you through the same sort of rigorous screening process that we do with all of our other guests.
That's perfectly fine.
So I think we should start off with a few questions for Nate Lee. Do you want to kick it off?
Great.
Yes. What games do you play while you're in the toilet? Just to keep the poo theme going. Like, even for those of us who actually listen to our podcast, like just beforehand, we were actually recording for Nate's podcast, which is Inform AU.
Yeah, so you should check that out last week. There's just a lot of talk about poo. So if you haven't got enough of that on this podcast, you should head over there.
It's so bad, actually, because the podcast before that I was doing with a friend of the show, Tom Sneed.
It was very highbrow? Or?
Yeah. to a particular degree, yeah, because we just did a whole podcast on microbes, which involved a lot of poo as well.
So much poo. Speaking of which, do you play any games on the toilet, Nate?
Here's the thing. This is something that's really, really interesting. I shit in about 30 to 40 seconds.
Which is just like your bowels is open and you die.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Exactly. It falls out of me like a stone.
Oh, God.
Like a sausage down a hallway. that euphemism can be used for multitudes of things.
Yeah.
But no, I literally, I potentially have, but a majority of my toilet shitting experiences is me just sitting down for about a minute and then I'm out.
So efficient.
I'm super, I haven't got time.
I wish I could be like that, because like as soon as I bring like my phone and it's like, it's all over. It's like I could have like done my shit and I'll still be sitting there for 15 minutes.
I know. I've definitely seen people who, not seen. I haven't seen.
How's that going? How's that going for you?
How's that poop? I haven't heard a plop in a while.
Is that a hole in my toilet?
Yeah, it's just like, I can see an eye through the keyhole. No, like,
why is there a glory hole in my house?
That's over the balcony. How does this even work? No, yeah, I do not take long on the toilet. I think if I've ever had an extended period of time on the toilet, I actually read scientific journals.
He's so highbrow. He's too good for this world. Yes, I'm
reading about stem cells and time crystals and all these other lovely things.
Fine. All right. Next question then.
Sorry.
You monster. Oh, is it going to be me? Okay. Let's go with...
Well, it's like, I only know my question. My question is the
poop question.
Games.
Yeah.
Poop and games. That's all I focus on.
That's true, because I make you do that every time.
I'm about to ask the poop question.
I do make you do that every time. All right. What is sitting at the top of your shame pile at the moment? As gamers, we all have shame piles.
Of games that we haven't played. Or games that we are ashamed of playing.
Oh, no. Well, that's a great one, actually, as a follow-up question. But, you know, the shame pile is the stuff you just haven't gotten to. Like, for example, a lot of people will come and going, I haven't played Mass Effect yet. Shit. Like, you know.
I haven't played Mass Effect.
Yeah, people said it too much. You need to choose something else.
You're only saying that because Yogg said it and you just want to be cool like Yogg.
Exactly.
How about something that actually that you intend on playing that you, like, people say that you'll love, but you just haven't gotten to yet?
Oh my God, that's a really, really good question. I've been playing a lot of Destiny lately.
We all have. Everyone in this podcast are the only ones still playing Destiny.
Yeah, because we're the fucking best. One game, okay, this is one game I've tried.
Mm.
Like, and I just fucking can't.
Oh, this is good, okay.
Skyrim. I just don't.
Get out. I know it's your house, but get out.
Is
it because it's been around for 7 years and they keep pushing it?
No, I've got the Xbox One Enhanced one there. And I've played it for maybe 2 hours, 3 hours, and I just don't give a shit.
I can understand why people don't like it because it is lacking a story, but I think I just liked roaming around with all my cool gear on and just...
Yeah, that's true. I've heard some people go like, oh, what other RPGs do you play? And I've gone, oh, I've played like... I've got 3 accounts on Dragon Age Inquisition. One of them's
correct.
Like 220 hours and the other two are 150.
That's the best way to play.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, if you like that, then you'll love Skyrim.
No, they're different. Yeah,
exactly. Different. They literally just like, oh, they're both RPGs. It's like,
one has a very in-depth story.
Oh, Dragon Age Inquisition is
fuck,
so
beautiful. I need to replay it. I love it so much.
I haven't played... Oh, Dragon Age Inquisition. I haven't played the last 2 expansions.
Holy crap, you need to get...
I haven't finished it yet either. I'm bad
Tales
person.
Of Hawkon?
Jaws of Hakon.
Jaws of Hawkon.
Love it.
I've only played that one. I haven't played other two.
The middle one, The Descent, I think it was called.
Yeah.
That one wasn't as
okay.
good. No, it wasn't.
But like the Trespasser one is great, just because it ties up a lot of things.
Yeah, I have heard that that's just like tying all the knots at the end, and it's just like perfectly done as a way of finishing the story. But I still need to get the 2... Yeah, expansions. Mm.
Definitely. What is a game you're ashamed of playing or loving then?
What is a game that I'm ashamed of?
Hey, you brought it up, man.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not ashamed of playing this game. And I use it usually before or after meditation, and it's Mini Metro.
Yes! I love it so much! I'm so happy!
Yeah, but there's nothing bad about Mini Metro. Why is that an embarrassing, shameful game to play?
Maybe it's the amount of hours that we've all put into it.
Yeah.
Do my daily at lunchtime.
Oh, man. It's so fucking bad because I will do... So I've unlocked all the places, of course.
Yeah, same.
And I've exceeded 1,000 passengers on all of them and try to keep them under a certain period of time. But I click on endless mode.
Yeah.
Like after one of my stations has got too overly populated and they're like, no, you're a shit. We're not going to allow you to take control of this railway anymore. I go into endless and I've accidentally, on purpose, sat down for like... 3 hours.
That's amazing.
Just playing endless.
You know what I've...
No idea why.
You know what I'm doing now with that? I've gone to some sort of weird double sphere because I finally just started playing Overwatch because I finally felt confident enough from playing just too much Crucible in Destiny because I've always said I'm bad at FPS to go, I'll give Overwatch a cheeky go. Now I'm obsessed with it. But now instead of doing skirmish when I'm waiting for a proper game, I'm on the mini metro. Double teaming the two games.
Shit, yeah, no, that's a really, really good
idea. It's fucking great. It's so good. It makes me really happy.
That's definitely going to be my next go-to. I've been playing a little bit of Overwatch at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Been playing it quite religiously, actually.
It makes me really happy.
I say a little bit, but it's really
so
not.
So much. Next question, food related.
Food related.
Do you have any gaming snack go-tos? Just something that you love just smashing while you're having a decent gaming sesh?
So even though my diet wavers occasionally, I'm relatively
healthy.
Sorry,
what did you have for lunch today, Nate?
Fuck.
Okay. Tell the good people.
I needed... All right, you listen here, motherfucker. I needed some comfort food.
Okay.
And I ate 2 pizzas... With extra cheese. One of them was a pepperoni, and the other one was a garlic pizza from Supreme, and I got extra cheese on it. And you know what? I needed it.
I don't have to justify myself to you.
Yeah, I'm an independent white man, and I don't need no woman. Sorry, mistress, telling me what to
correct,
do.
Correct, correct.
My go-to snack is... I usually just have like cashews or like some nut mix or something like that off to the side. So trying to keep healthy, you know, getting some good fats in your body.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Yeah, but it gets really, really boring really, really quickly. And then I run to the cupboard and get Doritos.
I can believe that. Lee, have you been playing anything lately? Now you have internet again.
So now that I have internet again, I spent like all of Sunday playing Beyond Two Souls. It's like... Like that and Heavy Rain is like PlayStation exclusive and I've only gotten into PlayStation like apart from PS2 like with my PS4. And it was like $20 on PSN store.
Yeah.
Because it was like PSN, PS Plus, whatever. So I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll just download it. And for like all the flack that Beyond Two Souls got, I enjoyed it for what it was. I didn't think it was too bad.
That's good. I haven't played it, so that's good to know.
Yeah, neither have I.
No, it's like, it's pretty like... intense, like emotionally intense, which I guess is kind of like typical Quantic Dream, whatever.
But
yeah, I quite liked it.
That's really
like
cool.
As like an interactive story, it's like it's pretty much just like quick time events, but you're kind of playing it for the story,
right?
Not
yeah,
for okay, the gameplay, that's cool. Really.
That's awesome.
And yeah, like I managed to like smash it out in a day.
Whatever. Oh. That's all right. That's really good. Well, like I was saying before, I'm now addicted to Overwatch. So that's the thing. Woo! But I've also, I picked up Resident Evil Biohazard. I have not started playing it on VR yet. I do have VR, but I'm a bit scared too.
I'm not.
Oh, so now
it.
You're scared. You're I like, am. Oh, wouldn't it be
you
funny
know,
if we get Lee into
oh, no,
blah,
that,
blah, blah.
That's still happening. It's because... it's actually, I'm not super far into it yet, but it's not even that it's scary. It's that it's just super stressful.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's stressful. Like, I'm like trying to get around this dude who's hunting you with an axe. It's not even just like, I'm scared because it's a scary atmosphere. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to get past this guy, guys. Yeah, like, it's just, I found it very, very, like, anxiety-inducing.
Yeah, I can't handle that. So it's like, mini Metro stresses me out.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, oh, no, it's really relaxing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I tried playing it and I'm just like...
Can't do it.
No, I can definitely understand that. First, like, 2 games that I played and I only got to, like, 150 passengers because you're just like... Why isn't the train moving quick enough? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's 3 stops away. Oh, God.
And then you just see the people piling up. And
why do you all want to go to Square?
I know.
Yeah, and then you get that one fucked up train that comes along and actually drops off more than what it picks up. And you're just like, oh,
you
my
monster.
God, it's already overpopulated. I remember it constantly takes me back to like the video or the GIF of the guy trying to get off the train in China. Or like Hong Kong or something.
I don't know what this is.
It was literally like the train rolled up and it's like an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Oh my God.
The same number of people trying to get on and off at the exact same time.
No.
So much so that there were like people jumping over like the people trying to come on.
Oh god.
Like literally climbing over, and there's one dude you see, they pick him out in the video and circle him out, who gets like maybe 2-3 meters out, but then the mass of the people trying to get on the train push him back
that's
on.
Amazing.
And that's what I can imagine with like Mini Metro on one of the stops that's already overpopulated and a train comes over and like, get off the train. And you're like, oh my god, there's so many people at this station.
I actually feel like we've got a bit of another background scrub here today who's probably trying to do his own thing. But I wanna hear our friend Hayden do like the angry announcer guy from Mini Metro who's wanting people just to be doing it in an orderly fashion.
Okay, so you're a railway instructor.
Yep.
And you're giving...
In the game Mini Metro.
In the game Mini Metro. And okay, you're trying to give people like instructions on what to do in an overcrowded station.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you can give us some ideas of what that would actually sound like, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Hey guys, just really important that you just take care, all right? Safety's important. Just make sure you get to your... Get to your destination with all your limbs. Right, oh, that's it. Goodbye. Thank you very much. Good day.
Jesus. He's like the only happy guy you occasionally get at Central. That's amazing.
Oh, when you get that cheery train driver.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, that's amazing.
The cheery train driver? Yeah,
he's a cheery train driver. I love that guy.
Hey, guys, and if you look out to your right-hand side, you'll actually see the Sydney Opera House.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, I love that guy. I thought Hayden was going to go for like a crotchety old guy. You know the one, like there's that one like train guard or train like the announcer who's just fucked off with life. Hey, like he's been doing this for 50 years and he just hates it. Like there's always that guy. Oh, Nate's gonna go for it.
No, I was just gonna be like,
oh my god, Hayden just gave him this look as like, are you bitching on my territory? This is my house.
I was like, Nate's gonna go for it. I was just watching Nate just like space out.
It's going to get so real.
No, you can just imagine the guy who's just giving up his legs like...
Like, good morning, passengers.
Good morning, guys. We're now on our way to Central. And platform's going to be on the right. Yeah. Just imagine if you can imagine have a guy just start going through like a midlife crisis. Just like, maybe you guys have an alright one.
I wouldn't know because my wife left me. You're actually courteous enough to say what doors.
Like, yeah.
Because like none of the trains in Australia do that. You go to like so many other countries in the world, you use their metro system and they'll be like, oh, it's like we're coming up to XYZ station. The doors will be opening on the left. So you know exactly where to stand.
That's nice. I like
that.
Happens
in Brisbane.
Yeah, they do.
Well, it must be a shit new trains thing.
Yeah. Fucking shitty rail.
Can you imagine? Just imagine. See, this is like, guys, I don't know what side the platform's going to be on.
I don't care.
The doors will open.
They might not.
You'll fucking get it. Like, just.
I like the ones who just get angry. Like over the, they'll just be like, to the people who are sitting on the stairs, that's a safety issue. Yeah, like, they just get the shit.
Get the fuck off the stairs. Yeah. That's where people walk, not where people sit, you fuckheads.
No, it's like, I love those angry guys that they call out people in the train, especially the ones, you know how the, like, especially during peak hour, when you always got the person who's trying to get on the train as the doors close and look at their bag or whatever, and you're just kind of looking at them going, yeah, you're a fuckwit. But then you got the train guy
who
like, calls them out. And like,
yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's like, he's like, don't be an idiot, blah, blah, blah.
I would absolutely love that. Imagine if there was like one of the train drivers who was just like looking at one of the carriages and there's like a shit person sitting down with like a pregnant woman standing. Like, oi, the fuckhead wearing the brown jacket and the red shoes.
Yes!
Stand up. There is a pregnant woman in front of you standing. Don't be a dick and let her sit down. I would get up and clap. I'd be
totally.
Like, where's the camera? You are a
this
champion.
Happens too. Like my deskmate Jade, she's heavily pregnant. She catches the ferry like from Manly, and this literally happened to her today where people everywhere, young girls, like people between like 20 and 40 can see that she's pregnant and purposely like not catching her eye.
Yeah.
And like, and it's like, people are dicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Just stand up, you shit person.
Just stand up. Bit of big news in the Australian scene today. Good Game, the long-running gaming show on ABC that's been going for 10 years, has been cancelled. Mm. So that's some big news. That got broken on a pretty sick website.
What website was that?
That'd be Kotaku.
Why is it so cool?
I work there.
That's all you need to know.
So yeah, I was just wondering kind of, I guess, what your opinions on this was. Like, they've kind of been saying that it happened because, you know, two of the presenters are leaving. It seemed like a shock that just because two presenters left that they're going to shut down the whole show.
I don't buy it.
You know, Janet Carr left last year. So do you buy it? Do you also think that maybe ABC made a bad choice in cancelling outright, or was the time, you know, to move to the internet?
Budget cuts.
Like just the idea of, so yeah, you mentioned that there were some people who left the other month, and that like two of the hosts of the show have mentioned that they're not going to, they're going elsewhere and they're going to do other things, which is perfectly fine. If you've been part of a show for like 10 years or even just like 5 years and wanting to do other things with your life is perfectly fine, and it's definitely justifiable. But the idea of like, oh, we've lost some people who work behind the scenes and two hosts, might as well can it. Like,
that's kind of dumb. It's like, hello, it's called like posting some job and like looking for new.
Yeah, well, they've got other talent on there as well that they could also, you know, bring up into promote. The spotlight. Yeah.
Given the opportunity to shine and get a rookie to come in and feel their position and just, you know, constantly get like successes.
Well, that's what they did with Hex originally. You know, like same thing, and it worked really well. So it's just interesting that they would do that, or in the very least, you know, not keep Pocket. Because that was doing amazingly well online. I think it's been there for about 2 years. And, you know, you would think that, okay, if you don't feel like you can keep the television show anymore, go to the internet where everybody is going for their content now.
Exactly. Like, I remember talking about it before, in the sense of a lot of the time when they release a TV episode, a lot of the news on there or the games that's being reviews might be a week or so old. If they were able to migrate everything that they're doing onto online, onto whatever platform they wanted, they could have their own website, they could do it on YouTube, they could do it on Facebook for all we care, and generate content that was more spontaneous and relevant, then I definitely think you'd get potentially a larger following. But I know a lot of people still love the TV aspects of it.
Yeah, no, but I think it's like people probably mostly watched it for the banter. It's like it's like the reason people listen to any good podcast. Like most of the best podcasts are usually not talking about the actual topic that.
It's not like a pure game review. They're having some banter.
Yeah, it's just like, but half the time it's just banter between the hosts and they're just talking shit. Like, it's kind of like our podcast.
We literally talk shit.
And we market ourselves as a gaming podcast. So that's there you go. But like, same thing. It's like, I think, because like, it's like the news was old by the time the Good Game episode would air.
Absolutely.
But people were watching it just to see the hosts. And
and get like their perspective on things. And they also did a lot for like the indie scene and everything as well. And
yeah, they did a lot of push on that, which was really, really good.
Yeah, that you can't find anywhere else. So and I was saying to these guys earlier as well that I think that it could also have a negative impact on the industry as a whole. Like, Australia is quite far away. So a lot of the time big name devs out here when a AAA was releasing, it was like, okay, well, we can say, oh, you can come to this con or whatever. But you could also tack on to that, well, we can also get you on a national television show that doesn't really exist in many other parts of the world, like on a proper station that's not internet-based. Like, they have it in Japan and everything, but, you know, it's Japan.
It's definitely a good selling point to entice people, you know, internationally to make their way here, and just the idea that it's like, oh, this game is coming out at this time. Oh, well, in like 2 months, we've got this convention. If you guys want to fly down to that and represent your game. And
even though we don't get the same numbers as you would in North America or Europe, because we're a tiny, tiny country comparatively. Yeah,
exactly. We're like 75% desert. But yeah, I definitely feel like that. It's definitely going to be a crippling blow to large international AAA as well as indie. And it's... What was it? They were saying that... like ABC, like there were a few statements that were released from different parties involved, and a lot of them were saying like, oh, we've had a look at the way in which different groups absorb our content and stuff like that, and we've decided that we're going to move away from this and move onto other things. And it's just like, Okay, so what do you you've kind of already got like a little YouTube thing, and you've got this TV show and stuff like that. Like, what are you moving to?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that's a really good question.
The Good Game Podcast.
Yeah, great. But no, yeah, it's interesting, and you know, I hope that we can see like some of these guys do some stuff, you know, in the future. Who knows?
ABC are moving purely into Twitch streaming.
I'm sure they
do. God,
that'd be good.
So yeah, I mean, I know that not everyone watched it. Some people tuned in and out. Some people were, you know, watchers for the last 10 years. But I think either way, I don't think anyone can really deny whether you loved it or not, that it was a huge impact on the local industry, and it did a lot of important things.
I used to watch it when I was working at EB Games, and I would I would use the information and their reviews essentially to give customers feedback.
You plagiarize them?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, entirely. It. But it's like, oh no, I was watching this really cool review on TV, and they said this about the game type thing. So if you like, based on that review, if you like these other games, you might like this one as well.
Yeah, right. Thing,
so.
That's cool. Well, I like that. So I guess on that note, I would say GG. GG.
GG, GG.
And let's move into some questions. Lee, do you want to fire some stuff off? What have people wanted to know from Dr. Nate over here?
Hashtag not Dr. Nate.
Yeah.
Okay, so Katie on Twitter, she asked, does coffee taste more bitter when it's cold, or is it just my imagination? Real facts, no alternative facts.
No alternative facts. Okay, so there, so I've done a little bit of research onto this one, and I found a couple of different theories. One of them is because of cavemen. So when we were cavemen, for me it was a couple of weeks ago, for human civilization it was a bit longer than that. I did everything. We evolved in our taste buds being more sensitive for foods that are around 20 degrees Celsius to about 35 degrees Celsius because we didn't used to cook for an extended period of time.
We weren't just like, hey, I'm going to like slaughter a cow and set it on fire. It's Mac time.
Medium rare. Like, we didn't have refrigerators or microwaves and stuff like that. So our taste buds don't work as well outside of those ranges. They're not as sensitive. So potentially the difference between like a hot coffee and a lukewarm or like a cooler room temperature type coffee is that because it's at a temperature range that our taste buds respond more to, that we taste the natural bitterness of coffee more than what it is when it is hot.
So coffee has been lying to us all along.
Yeah. Coffee actually isn't delicious. It tastes like shit.
Oh my God. It's like the best con of all.
Also, there were some other things that potentially when we drink hot coffee, our senses on our tongue completely disregard the taste and are more bent up on the hot,
on the heat. Yeah.
So my roommate in Brisbane, when I was living up there, his girlfriend used to give me shit because I used to pour the hot water on the ground, on the coffee grounds before milk.
Yeah, obviously. That's what I do as well.
Yeah. Apparently, if you pour hot water into your coffee before milk, the hot water, if it is... So the best...
Does it burn the coffee grounds? Yeah.
The best temperature for your water to be at, if you want to have the better flavor coffee, is between 90.5 degrees Celsius and 96.2 degrees Celsius, which I think is 195 degrees Fahrenheit and 205 degrees Fahrenheit. So those are the best temperatures.
Okay, here we go though. Like, why would you get caught up in the schematics of that anyway when, like, if you're just at home, international roast just tastes like shame anyway. Why are you trying to fancy up that garbage fire?
A big tin of shame.
So it's a combination of like, if they say like, if you want your coffee to taste better, that you should let your kettle sit for about a couple of minutes. But they're also saying that like, if you just pour the hot water in, it can burn it. But if you have it at a high temperature, it releases different chemicals that make it more bitter and acidic. So if that's not necessarily talking about room temperature, but if you were to like have burnt coffee essentially, then let it like mellow down to room temperature, then you wouldn't have a very lovely palate of coffee.
It's like coffee, you need to calm down.
Coffee, just chill out.
For a second, I was kind of
literally
like,
chill out.
Kind of like a little bit confused when you were saying that like your roommate's girlfriend was like going off at you for putting like the hot water
in first.
Because I was like, how does she make a coffee? Does she put the milk in first?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how she makes the coffee. She would get instant. She literally, like, she's having a bitch about instant. Love this girl. She's the best. But she would put in instant and then the milk.
No.
And then the hot water. But she'd put in maybe 50 to 60 mils of milk and then just top the rest off with hot water to prevent the coffee grounds from burning.
She can stay in Brisbane.
if you go to like a hipster coffee shop, I'm pretty sure they'll agree with me entirely, guys.
Probably. Next question is from Nick on Twitter. And yep. He asks, what are some real non-crazy practical steps we can take to prepare for the coming apocalypse?
For the upcoming apocalypse? Just touch up on your basic survival skills. So be able to learn ways to provide like food, water and stuff like that and shelter and heat. So some of the basic things that you can do if you find a river and you know that there are lots of fish in there, what you do is you get some rocks and you build a little C-shape enclosure off to the side and dig it down so water swells in that area. Fish will make their way into that deeper area. The current will lessen and they'll be more comfortable in that area. You can then net it off and take the fish out.
Whoa, this seems like real fucking advice in here.
If you want to get water, what you do is there are a couple of ways that you can do
tie
this.
Tie a plastic bag around some tree
leaves.
Yeah,
you can do that, except it kills the tree.
Fuck the tree.
I thought it was just put it over like a few of like a cluster of leaves.
Yeah. In Queensland, when I was teaching, we did 10 weeks completely on survival. So I taught my students how to actually survive and splint and collect food and water and stuff.
That's awesome.
But one of the really cool things that you can do for this one, if you want to ensure the survival of the tree to a greater extent, fuck the tree. You dig a hole. You put leaves in it.
Mm.
In the center, you put a catchment container. You then chuck leaves around it. You then put a plastic sheet over top and a stone in the middle. As the water evaporates, it hits the plastic and then trickles down to where the rock is and drops into the container and you have fresh drinking water.
Whoa.
This process also allows you to turn salt water into fresh drinking water. So you slush. So you put plastic, instead of leaves, you line the base of it with plastic and you put salt water or even just dirty, filthy water into it and only the water evaporates and collects and you can clean water.
That's amazing.
So if you can remember how to do them, have you guys... Oh, I cannot remember the YouTube channel to save my life, but the video of the dude who doesn't talk and just goes out into bushes and makes shelters and stuff like
That's awesome.
There's a video, they go for like 20 minutes and they're sped up. And they're like just mesmerizing to watch because he starts like making axes and shelters and clay and fire all from scratch.
Yeah, because I remember like listening to Triple J's hack program one time, like on a drive home from work, and they were talking to some like legit survivalists who were like, okay, awesome. It's like a zombie apocalypse, who actually believed that an apocalypse was inevitable, and there were. The guy was actually talking about things like you would need and things like a good pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just learning how to like skin rabbits. Foraging for like herbs and leaves, like what's edible, what's not edible.
That's so cool. For something that I think, I don't know, may have been a joke question vaguely. I'm not sure, but that was a great answer.
Mm.
I feel like we need to
I tried my hardest.
I think we need to have more of Nate's survival tips in the future. I like it.
Survival tips? Jesus.
Next question, Lee.
So our next question comes from our producer, Rick.
Hi, yay. Rick.
So it gets a little bit philosophical here. If there is an infinite number of separate points between point A and point B, how does anything ever move?
Okay, so my basic understanding on this one to a particular degree, I haven't done much research on this one, in the sense of, so point A and point B, or like between point like one and two, they're mathematical senses. And a lot of the things that people get mixed up with is the sense that the space in between these is something physical. But there actually is no space in between numbers. Okay, so this is when it starts to get really, really heavy.
I think I've gone blind.
This isn't anything to do with like limits and all that shit, isn't it?
The limit doesn't exist.
to a particular degree, but in maths, there's no space in between points 1 and 2 and between points A and B.
So, like 1 and 2 are just macking on each other?
It's just like kind of. It's just all or nothing.
In maths, it's literally all or nothing. Yeah. And because of that very, very basic... So, this just fucks off common sense. Like, it doesn't... This maths doesn't believe in common sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote an article on how we live in a 3-dimension, but we experience time in a 4th. So we experience a 4th dimension.
I don't. this is upsetting me.
So because there is no actual space in between point A and B or between 1 and 2, then there is an infinite number of steps in that.
Right.
But in the sense of like between points A and B, if there's an infinite number of steps, how does anything move? I have no idea what that's getting at.
That would like if it's infinite, that's gonna like fuck up my Fitbit. I don't like it.
You've only said this many steps? Piss off. I've done so many more than that. God. I've done infinite.
Can we go for like an easier one from Rick?
Yeah, so like on a less complex note, what makes a Froco cause a brain freeze?
So if I can remember this right, there's a really, really short nerve that goes from the roof of your mouth straight up to your brain. And it's essentially this, that if you're like shoveling ice cream or whatever you're shoveling that's really, really cold into your mouth, it can set this nerve off once it hits a certain temperature or a certain threshold, and it just freezes this nerve a little bit and it gives you a bit of a brain freeze. I actually don't know of the evolutionary reason why you experience a brain freeze. That might be something that I have a look into.
Maybe it's because ancestors or our bodies back in the day never thought, they're like, oh well, like the elements, you want to stay away from cold stuff because it can kill you. And now it's like, why are you putting cold shit in me? Why you freeze?
Like what we were just saying before with taste, we used to eat stuff that was between 20 and 35 degrees Celsius, and anything outside of that is just like, oh my god, what is this?
It is inside of me body.
But yeah, I have no idea like the evolutionary reason why we might go, shit, it's cold. Yeah. But they say it's a bit interesting because they say that like, oh, you can push the roof of your the top of your tongue to the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, I've heard that to calm it down.
But the thing is that you've had cold shit in your mouth, your tongue's still cold.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Maybe if you generate some friction and go,
I wish we had a photo of what Nate was doing
No, we don't. But maybe if you did that and create some friction, then it would result in the nerve that not shitting the bed.
Great. Love it.
Bringing it back.
For our final question, this comes from me, from Sass Effect.
Really?
This comes off a conversation we're having at dinner that apparently cake could actually be good for breakfast. Is that true? And why?
Triggered. Okay. So, there was some studies that were saying that cake can be good for breakfast because it does have like some carbohydrates and a few other thing in there, but it can also be a really, really good start to your day because chocolate actually releases endorphins that make you feel good.
So, it's only chocolate cake?
Yeah, but to a particular degree. Like anything, if you eat sugar, it's like a high calorie food and your body just gets like, oh, this is delicious, but it's short term lived.
That's what I mean. It's like, it doesn't mean it's good. It means that your like brain is lying to you and telling you it's good.
Exactly. Which leads on, okay, I had a conversation with one of my students and they were trying to outsmart me, but I put her in her place.
Like, where she belongs.
Where she belongs. She goes, sir, did you know it's okay to eat ice cream for breakfast? And I've actually read the journal article.
Oh, I did, like, was it one of those things that went around on Facebook or something?
It was
right.
One of the things that went on the news. It's like, it turns out that eating ice cream is actually good for you. Tell us what you think about it, Cynthia. Like, fuck me.
I hate Cynthia.
Cynthia's a bitch. She doesn't know what she's talking about. But what they did was, no one in the news was told this. The study was eating ice cream versus not eating anything.
Oh, good. Oh, okay, of course, great.
Because, like, starving yourself is like infinitely like better than
eating ice cream. So literally, it's just like it's like the big ice cream comes along. And it's like, no, guys, we did this research where it's fucking super good for you as long as you haven't had anything else.
It's literally like if it's a choice between starving yourself or eating ice cream.
Two thumbs up.
Eating ice cream, you can do it for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, and that, I had so many students who have just like seen the article on Facebook or whatever social, on Kick and Tumblr and stuff.
Yeah.
But
sir, what's your Snapchat?
There's
what's your type, sir? Not you.
Not 15.
Just like going past like local shopping centre. Like there was always like a billboard for a while on one of the bus stops, and it was some beer company that was advertising, and it was kind of like advertising it as if like beer, super good for you. It's like,
oh god,
it's like low in sugar, and it's like. Yeah, duh.
But also, isn't
it's also like high in carbs and is alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doesn't like whatever's in beer like just convert to fucking sugar anyway?
It's like
does
like,
beer convert to sugar?
It's like they were promoting the fact like,
eventually.
Yeah.
They're promoting the fact that like beer is possibly a healthy option because it has hardly any sugar in it.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay.
No bueno.
Yeah, no. Cool. I think that was all of our questions for today. I think we ripped through them pretty hard. Did you have any other questions, Lee, for Nate?
No.
Awesome. Nate.
It's like I'll probably think about it like 2 days after things aired and I'm like,
I'm sure he'll be hanging around the background of one of our podcasts again in the near future.
Casually having drinks with no pants with your boyfriends.
Exactly. Hot. Oh,
that's like, here's the thing. Cockroaches, why don't they ever flush down the toilet properly the first time?
Yes.
And you have to sit there like 50 times trying to get them down.
Actually, that's true. Or like you'll once and you'll come back 4 hours later. I'm like, why is it floating?
It's like I've even tried like wrapping it up in toilet paper. No.
Yeah. Well, why do cockroaches float in the toilet?
Why do cockroaches float in the toilet? I think it might have something to do with cockroaches not being very, very dense. Cockroaches are light enough that they can very easily fly with their very, very small wings. So
I know, it's terrifying.
It would have to be. I think it would have something to do with like density as well as just being... Like they might be at a particular weight that allows the surface tension of the water to allow them to remain buoyant. So like ants, if you put them in water, they'll group together in clusters because they essentially use the surface tension of the water to hold them up and they become buoyant and can float. Lots of insects do it, like a lot of little water skimmers.
I don't
skimmers.
Like it. Cockroaches are evolutionary bastards. I don't like it.
They're cleaner than our hands.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Oh, man.
Your hands, anyway.
My hands are filthy.
Yeah.
If you touch a cockroach, it runs off and cleans itself.
That's fair. I would.
Because it goes,
because like, why would I touch a cockroach to begin with?
Yeah, definitely not.
It's a hate-hate relationship. They're more afraid of you than you are of them.
No, they're not. That is a lie.
They come at you.
They come at you.
Or is that bears? I can't remember. I don't know. Yeah. Why do they come at you? I don't know.
They come at you. It's true.
It's like one in the bathroom the other night, and it's like...
Bitch.
Sprayed a little bit, and it freaking turned on.
The reason why, so this is me just having a guess.
Yes, miss, just may I have another? Like,
rough me up, punch me in the face. The reason why, so this is me just spitballing, it might have to do with you generating a shadow. So like if you turn the lights on, all the cockroaches disappear. If you're sitting on the shitter and it senses the shadow, it might go, oh, cool, that's where I can hide. I might not be seen there and might run.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
So someone who's listening to the podcast or you girls here, if a cockroach starts running to you, turn the light on your phone and see if it runs in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like that.
It's a study, an experiment that you can
do. It's like the modern day like crucifix. Instead of crossing yourself, it's the iPhone.
Devil be gone. Oh, it's so bright.
Oh, God, not Android.
Oh, God, I'm an iPhone.
Love it. Well, thanks for stopping by, Nate. Oh, that's my alarm. I guess it's time to stop the podcast now.
Wow, that was perfectly timed.
Love it. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much for stopping by in my house.
Wait, yeah, because it's not like he stopped by because we're kind of like, we're in your house.
No, he stopped by. Like everywhere we go, it's other people stopping by, in my opinion. I'm not a narcissist at all. Where can people find you and stalk you, Nate?
So you can find me on social media with Science Inform. You can go to informau.com to the website where we'll provide you links to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or you can follow me. I'm currently set to private on Instagram, but you can follow me at Nate Bramley.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm private.
Where can we follow you
on Snapchat?
Oh, God. You can follow me on Snapchat on DickLord76. And that's where we cut out. That's where the podcast cuts out.
And that's where we're going to ask our producer Rick to put something interesting in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You didn't think about that, did you?
I've just provided the best audio spacing.
Yes, you did. You like paused that little bit, too.
Oh, that was about like 2 seconds.
It wasn't that long, but it was enough. Rick can get something in there. Don't you worry.
Great.
Great. Thank you for joining us again this week, Ali. Where can people stalk us?
At Sass Effect, virtually anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere.
Twitter, on the web. You can check us out on iTunes. It'd be very easy to find us on iTunes because apparently we're like in like the top whatever three of
Video games actually in new and noteworthy, which is really exciting. So we're
you don't even have to search for us, just go to like video game podcast and we're right there.
We're right there. And if you could drop some cheeky 5-star reviews and some subscriptions, that would be great. We would love that.
So you don't even have to listen to us. You can like skim listen to us.
Known this is to happen.
Just check us some 5-star reviews.
Just a couple of cheeky 5-star reviews and just subscribe. We have some acknowledgements. Lee.
I think it's still Campbell who we acknowledge.
We do. Thank you for existing, Campbell, and for also being on our podcast. If you would like to be acknowledged instead of Campbell, do anything.
Yes.
Literally do anything.
Do anything. It's like we'd like to thank Plantronics, who we think we're still being sponsored by.
Sure.
It's not like anybody actually sends us in questions anymore. It's usually the same people who have already won a headset that send us questions.
So. We write our own questions now. Yeah. No, we still get questions, but they're usually our mates. But if you would like to drop us some questions, that would be great. So thank you to Plantronics for being our sponsors. Thank you for being here, Nate. And until next time, say yes to the sass. Boy.
Oh, wait. We've got to thank Rick.
Oh, thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
You're right.
Stay sassy.
Please don't fuck the edit. Oh, God.